How do you do? They say nothing improves your prayer life like big troubles. Well, if so, the man in this story should have been the Genghis Khan of prayer warriors. He was born into a dysfunctional family. His father was an alcoholic, his mother a paranoid schizophrenic. His two older brothers spent much of their lives in prison, and he was headed that way too. Before, his heart and mind and life were unshackled.
Look what we brought you, Danny.
Oh, what's that?
It's acid, man.
I've never used LSD. Oh,
go on, try it. Expand your mind.
I don't know. I've been up for 3 days tripping on speed. I always use pot to slow down and relax.
Live dangerously, dude. You don't know what you're missing.
Well, what if I have a bad trip?
You won't.
Well, all right. Once can't hurt.
From the crossroads of life in the heart of God, this is Unshackled. True life stories dramatized and produced in Chicago by Pacific Garden Mission. Most of us have known hunger to some degree at some point in life, but few know how it feels to sleep under a bridge or in a cardboard box. Well, that's life for the homeless, and that's why the doors at Pacific Garden Mission are always open so that people living on the edge of despair have a place where they're always welcome. The mission offers hearty meals, fresh clothing, and a clean bunk for the night, even medical and dental care, and all without charge, thanks to caring friends whose financial gifts help make all this possible. Pastors and counselors pray with and for these unfortunate ones, giving the bread of life that feeds starving souls, and those who reach out and take the undeserved gift of salvation find purpose and joy and hope for the future, like the man in this story. And now for broadcast around the earth, here's program number 2842 in the series Unshackled, the program that makes you face yourself and think.
No, no! Go away! Leave me alone!
You see them, don't you? You see what I see?
I could see demons whispering and scheming.
I told you! Nobody ever believes me!
This is scary, Mom. I don't like it.
Now, why not? Are you afraid what they might do to you?
No. I'm afraid of what I might do to them.
Now, you know, Danny.
I know what?
You know what I go through.
Go away. I love my mom. I love my mom!
Last week we heard how the man in our story grew up surrounded by violence and crime. He wanted to be a good kid and do the right thing, but he had no moral compass because his family never went to church. Football became an outlet for his anger and frustrations in high school. After his girlfriend took him to church and Bible study, he even made a profession of faith in Christ. Then she dropped him and he dropped the faith that he'd been taught. In this conclusion of his testimony, we'll hear how Danny Basham fell into a pit. This is his true story right now on Unshackled.
I had two older brothers, but I was the first one in my family to graduate from high school, and I expected to get a football scholarship to college. But I was an academic disaster with no hope or direction. So I went to junior college in Sacramento, where I helped my dad in his roofing business. Mom lived in Paradise, about an hour and 40 minutes away. In my senior year, I went back to visit my old high school friends.
Hey, everybody, look who's here.
Hey, buddy.
Danny Basham.
Danny.
Danny, I thought you were down in Sacramento, man.
Yeah, I just came up to see what's happening.
You still in college?
Oh, yeah. I'm in my senior year at Sacramento State.
No fooling. I knew you were playing football for the junior college down there.
Well, Sacramento State offered me a full-ride football scholarship, so I jumped on it.
Hey, Danny, man, we have to celebrate. Come on, man, get high with us. Never would in the old days. Maybe you're grown up.
Hey, I smoke pot, but I don't use hard drugs. I saw what they did to my family.
Come on, man. This will make you feel like Superman. You'll love it.
Well, yeah, why not? Hey, I feel like celebrating.
The drug was methamphetamines that grabbed hold of my life like a magnet to metal. I had always been shy, and meth lightened my load, gave me freedom to express myself without fear. At first, I used it monthly, then weekly. Then I used it daily for football practice. I was hooked. After the last football game of the season, I just left school telling everyone I was going home to take care of my mother. But that was a lie. I was going home to feed my habit. Before long, I was dealing drugs to support the habit of my friends and me. But I began to experience shame and convictions.
Hey, Danny, what's wrong, man?
Man, there are kids in there. There are young kids in there doing drugs.
Hey, is that why you blew all the drugs off the table?
Yeah. A 15-year-old girl, I can't live with myself after seeing that. I mean, it's wrong.
Lighten up. She's a volunteer, buddy. So are you.
I'd like to quit. I really would. I wish somebody would help me get off these drugs.
Why?
I'm destroying myself. Besides, I know that God sees it, and it's wrong.
Whoa, you're all messed up, Danny.
There's something wrong with this driving need for speed. Sometimes I think I'm losing my mind. There's got to be a way to get off this stuff.
Well, don't ask me, man. I'm strung out, too.
Again and again, I felt the conviction about my drug use, but I was helpless in the face of the powerful craving. Many times I tried to eat right, exercise, and work a normal job, hoping to break the hold drugs had on me, but I always went back to them. My older brother was getting out of prison, and he had always been a symbol of strength and protection to me. I would ask him to help me.
So, Danny, what are you doing with your life? Still playing football?
Well, I'm embarrassed to tell you this, Ted, but I'm addicted to drugs, and I need your help.
What kind of drugs?
Crank. I need you to take care of me. I've tried, but I can't get off this stuff.
Yeah, okay, I'll do it, but first I gotta go down to Sacramento, secure my parole, so once I get all that done, I'll come up here next week, and we'll find a place, and, you know, we'll just do life together.
I'll go with you. Yeah, I'll go pat my back.
Wait, hold it.
What? I'm desperate, Ted. I need you. Don't go there without me.
You can't go. I'll go down, do what I need to do, and come back tomorrow night, and then we'll work it out.
I was so excited because my brother was going to save me. The next day came and went. A week came and went. 2 weeks came and went. I decided to call a mutual friend in Sacramento.
Hey, Danny, what's up, buddy?
Hey, have you seen my brother, my brother Ted?
You don't know?
No, I don't know what. What's wrong? What's wrong with my brother?
He's in the hospital, Danny.
What? Is he okay? What hospital? I'll call and talk to him.
No, I don't think you should call. You just need to come down and see him.
I borrowed my mother's car and drove down to Sacramento, found the hospital, and my brother sitting up in bed surrounded by doctors. He had lost so much weight, he looked like a skeleton.
Am I glad to see you? I need you to take care of me, Daddy.
What happened, Ted?
Somebody gave me a hot shot.
A hot shot?
A syringe full of battery acid.
The doctor said my brother had lost 35 pounds. Because he lost so much fluid, he had died, but they revived him. A few days later, I took him to Mom's mobile home to recover, but we weren't sure he would survive. He was paralyzed on his left side for a while, but in a year's time, he regained strength, worked out, and was healed. He went back to using drugs again and became friends with my dealer friends.
It's on, Basham.
What?
It's on.
What are you talking about?
I have a key to Bert's house. His ex-girlfriend gave it to me. As soon as he goes to sleep, we're going to go in and take his money and his drugs.
No, Ted. He's a friend of mine.
So what?
It isn't right.
Hey, we got a shotgun, so I'm going in. If you don't come with me, I'm going to shoot him. I'm going to kill him.
Ted, no. You are not going to go. Quit talking like that.
It's on, Basham. It's on. I'm going in. You coming? If you come, he lives. If you don't, he's going to die.
I had been drinking and doing drugs, so I wasn't thinking clearly, but I sincerely thought I was saving my friend's life by going into his house with my brother. We took the bag of money and left. The next day, my drug dealer friend called and asked me to stop by and help him. When I got there, his house was full of other dealers, and he led me to the back room in his bedroom where he had a couple of lines of meth laid out. He inhaled it first, and then I did.
Oh, man. What are you trying to do, kill me or something? Whoa, that was huge.
Yeah, you got it, Danny.
Hey, what are you doing? Get that gun out of my face. What are you doing?
Well, you got my money. You stole my money.
No, I don't have your money. I don't know anything about your money.
Don't give me that. My ex-girlfriend told me she gave your brother the key to my house. He came in here and got my money.
Look, I don't know what you're talking about, but if my brother has your money, I'll help you get it back.
You swear?
Yeah, now let me go and find him.
I told my brother we had to return the money, so we made arrangements to meet, and my brother handed back the money. He swore that I had nothing to do with the theft and threatened the dealer's life if anyone touched me. But as time went on, I felt guilty about my part in the robbery, and I told my brother I wanted to get it off my chest, so we got together with the dealer.
So, what's up, Danny?
I want to come clean, Bert. You need to know the truth about that robbery.
I thought I already knew the truth.
No. The other guy that helped my brother was me. I went in. I was a part of it. At the time, I thought it was the only way to save your life. I was afraid my brother would kill you if you woke up and caught him in your house.
Is this true, Ted?
Yeah, it's true. I think he's nuts telling you this, but he insisted.
So why are you telling me this now, Danny?
Because you're my friend. I care about you. And I couldn't let you go on thinking something that wasn't true. It was eating me up inside.
Somehow you telling me this doesn't make me feel any better.
Well, I hope you can forgive me, Bert. I was trying to save your life. My confession didn't mend our relationship. From then on, every drug dealer in town seemed to look at me skeptically. No one trusted me, which led to paranoia on my part. One day he picked me up and took me to a heavily wooded area where other drug dealers were milling around. And I began to think that they were speaking in code, working on a plan to get me. I was filled with fear, as if I were in a dark devil's place.
Be careful, little shift. Keep an eye on him.
You gotta watch this kid.
Oh, what's this?
A bullet?
Oh, yeah. There's a bunch of bullets in here in case we need to use one for something.
Look, we need to go now. You need to take me out of here right now. I thought I was losing my mind. I went home and lay on my mattress in the front room, and I just cried and cried.
Oh, God.
What's wrong, Danny?
I'm afraid.
What are you afraid of?
I'm afraid of becoming like you. I'm afraid of losing my mind. I don't even know if you're my mother. I don't even know if my dad's my dad. All I know is my name is Danny.
Bad as they were, things would get worse for Danny, as we'll hear in just a moment. We get many requests for our Gospel of John Bible study, a course of 6 lessons that doesn't require any books other than the Bible. A course you take at your own pace in the privacy of your own home. One man writes, "Thank you for the Bible studies. I really enjoyed doing them, and they helped my spiritual growth, as does Unshackled, which I listen to every day." Another man writes, "I recently turned my life over to Christ, and this was in no small part due to your Unshackled radio program. Please send me the Gospel of John Bible study course." Many prisoners ask for and complete the Gospel of John Bible study, and it's a helpful study for anyone who wants to learn more about God's plan for their lives and how to be more like Jesus. The entire 6 lessons are free, so just write and ask for the first lesson, and when it's complete, we'll send succeeding lessons. All you need is a pencil and a desire for spiritual growth. Just write to Pacific Garden Mission, Chicago, Illinois, 60605. Our email address is unshackled@pgm.org, and please include your address.
Sometimes Mom would use drugs in addition to her prescription, so she couldn't help me. In my distress, I cried out to God, "Oh God, if you are real, you need to show me yourself right now. I need you so bad." I found Mom's Bible and found the book of Daniel, because we shared the same name. I read the whole book and saw how the Hebrew boys were delivered out of the fiery furnace, but I didn't really understand it. A short time later, a neighborhood drunk took cover in my car overnight, and the next day I found him there, dead. A few weeks later, my lungs collapsed and I was hospitalized for a week. The downward spiral continued, and I was helpless to stop it. Then came the worst day of my life. The police arrested me for burglary. I wasn't a thief, but some of my drug friends were, and they brought me stolen property that I gave to the dealer in exchange for drugs. In desperation, I began calling my old teachers and coaches, asking for help for my addiction and recommendations to help me in court.
Hello?
Yeah, is this Danny Basham?
Yeah, who's this?
My name's Dennis, Danny. I'm a marriage and family counselor.
How did you get my number?
Well, there's a lot of people in this community who love you and they care for you, and they've been bringing your name to me. Can we meet?
How much do you cost?
$80 an hour.
I'd have to sell a lot of drugs for you to help me. I don't think that's a good idea.
Yeah, look, Danny, you don't need to pay me. Just come down to my office. I want to meet you.
So, Danny, also coach football. I know you're a football player. I think I can help you. So, let's chalk up a game plan, huh? We're going to send you out the door. You're going to run a play. And if you get knocked down, you just get up and you come back here. And we'll chalk up another game plan. And we're going to win this game of life. So what do you say, Danny?
Cool. You got me.
Okay, good. Now, the first game plan is to quit using drugs. So stay away from old drug friends and get yourself involved in Narcotics Anonymous meetings.
We met twice a week, chalking up game plans and running them with success. Then we met once a week, and then once a month. Before long, I was back in Sacramento State, enrolled as a criminal justice major. I was working a couple of jobs, and my life was clean and sober. But there had to be more to life. One night, I called a friend.
So how's it going with the counselor, Danny?
Oh, great. We're working on my relationship with my mom, which may be the root of many of my problems.
To use the latest psychobabble, you do have a dysfunctional family.
Yeah, but I love him anyway. Hey, perhaps I can help my little brother, so he never has problems like I've had.
What was the worst time in your life, Danny?
Well, there was more than one. My mom's mental illness and trying to communicate with her as a child was the worst. Then, the shame of my brother's incarcerations was difficult, too. I loved them, and I wanted to share my life with them.
I'm sure that's true.
Do you believe in God?
Not really. Why do you ask?
Well, I've been thinking about my life. And life was good when I was a high school student. That's when I was learning about God. I got along with other students. I got along with adults and teachers. Athletics was great. I wonder if God had anything to do with that. I'm going to go find God.
Well, keep me posted.
I decided to look for the youth pastor who had taught the youth group when I was a teen. So I called my old girlfriend. She promised to find out but didn't call back. So I called her after 2 weeks again. I was determined. She gave me the name of the church he was with, and I called them all until I located it. It was only 10 miles away. I wondered if he would remember me. I called him, and he invited me to have dinner with him and his family. Afterward, he excused himself while he prayed with his kids before sending them to bed. When he returned, I was mad. I'm really ticked off.
Why? Did we offend you in some way?
No. I'm just looking back at my life. And if I would have had what you have, a happy home, prayer at bedtime, people who love each other, I wouldn't be here.
What's going on in your life, Danny?
I've made such a mess of my life, Carlo. I got into drugs, methamphetamines, and then I was arrested recently for receiving stolen property.
God still loves you, no matter what.
How could he? I turned my back on him and everything you taught me in those Bible studies. Somehow, everything else seemed more important at the time. Then I began using drugs, and I couldn't seem to stop. With a counselor's help, I got away from drugs and guys who use them, but I'm still going through the courts, and I may end up in prison, just like my brothers.
God is still a God of miracles, Danny. I've gone through some bad times when things looked hopeless, but God has a purpose for those times. He can use the things that seem so hard in life to teach us invaluable lessons.
I'd like to believe that. When Tim and you taught the Bible study, it seemed possible.
Have you forgotten how much God loves you? How he sent Jesus, his only son, to die on the cross so you could have forgiveness and eternal life?
I remember. I called myself a Christian, but really I'm not.
Do you study his word and spend time with him in prayer?
No. I never really knew how to do that on my own. I tried to read the Bible recently, but I didn't understand it, so I quit. You talk as if God is real, like that chair.
He is real. Even more so than that chair. The Lord made all things, and he's the essence of everything.
Carlo, if you told me that God is a green dot on the back of that box, and I can't see it, I'd have a hard time believing it. But then if I see a blue light coming down, and then a yellow light coming down, and I know that blue and yellow make green, then I could believe that God is a green dot on the back of that box.
Danny, is there any reason why you're not dead?
Not really.
Is there any reason why you're not already in prison?
I might still go, but
No.
Is there any reason why you're not mentally destroyed by all the chemicals you put in your body?
No.
Consider those things blue and yellow.
Oh, I see.
God's love and mercy is evident in all those things. He never left you, Danny. The Lord is long-suffering and not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Let me read you something from the Scriptures. The Bible tells us here in Psalm 139, verse 4, "For there is not a word in my tongue, but lo, O Lord, thou knowest it altogether." And then in verse 17, it says, "How precious also are thy thoughts unto me, O God! How great is the sum of them!" I believe God has given you clear examples. If you continue to live for yourself, you'll end up dead or in prison or mentally deranged. But if you choose to live for Him, who knows where He'll take you?
Do you have a Bible I can have?
Of course. And I'll give you this pamphlet about how to have peace with God.
I felt like God spoke to my heart for the first time that night at Carla's home. Back in my room that night, I read the pamphlet, and the prayer at the end was almost identical to the one I had prayed as a teenager. I got on my face before God. "Lord, I prayed this prayer when I was a teenager, but I didn't follow You, and I have made a mess out of my life. Oh God, please forgive me for resisting You. I thank You for loving me. You have been with me all along, but I didn't surrender my heart and life to You. I need the new life that Jesus died to give me. I surrender my life to You, Lord. Please take control of everything and lead me in the way You have chosen. Thank You, God." Carlo, it's Danny. I prayed to God last night, and I know that I'm changed forever.
Wonderful, Danny. Find a good church and study your Bible.
Yeah, I'm looking for a church. I'm also looking for a better place to live. Right now I'm staying with a bunch of guys who drink and smoke pot, and I'm supposed to stay away from any illegal things.
Yeah, well, you shouldn't be living there, Dan.
Well, I don't have any place else to go right now.
You can come and live with us.
Carlo opened his house to me for 3 weeks. And then I moved in with a college student who was involved in the church. Meanwhile, I was going through the court system. I entered a plea of no contest, and they sentenced me to a 3-year suspended prison sentence, 90 days in jail that I served under home arrest, and 3 years of felony probation. While I was under home arrest, Carlo and two other students came and held Bible study with me.
So, how does home arrest work, Danny?
Well, see this device on my ankle?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I can't remove it. I can't leave home except to go to work, church, or the barber. And I have to let them know ahead of time when I'll be doing these things. They call me randomly, sometimes 3 or 4 times an hour. Sometimes 3 hours go by. I have to give my name and social security number and then connect the phone receiver to the ankle device where it takes an electronic reading to verify what I've said. I am truly tethered.
The end result of the devil's work is always bondage.
But Jesus has set me free.
Amen. Jesus said, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because He hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He hath sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, and recovering of the sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised."
I worked on that Bible study every day. And as I spent time with the Scriptures and time with the Lord, I felt the Lord calling me into youth ministry, which I thought might be threatening to Carlo, who was the youth pastor. For the next year and a half, I was involved in a drug and alcohol abuse ministry in the church. I shared my faith with my family and my friends. Then I moved back to Paradise and the church where I attended during my teen years, and there I launched an alcohol and drug abuse program, ministering to former drug buddies. But I still kept my calling a secret. Then, I went to a retreat in the mountains for high school and college students. I had an interesting conversation with one of the counselors.
Are you Dan Basham?
Yes, I am. You must be John.
Yeah, I am. Come over here so we can talk.
People have been telling me I should meet you.
What do you think of the retreat?
Oh, I think it's great reaching young people.
Have you ever thought about doing this?
Sometimes, but I wouldn't.
Interesting. Why?
Fear.
Fear of what?
Fear of failing the Lord in some way. Fear it would be my desire, but not God's desire for me.
Mr. Basham, if you continue to think like that, you'll always be a loser. If fear is keeping you from doing what God has in store for you, not only are you allowing fear to tie your hands, but you're allowing fear to tie the hands of God in your life.
He didn't say, I would be a loser. He said, I was a loser. What a hard truth to hear. But he was right. I didn't see him again at the retreat, but midweek he called and wanted to meet for coffee.
The Lord laid it on my heart that you are to pursue youth ministry, and I am supposed to help you make that happen. Does that mean anything to you?
John, God has laid it on my heart for the last 2 years to pursue youth ministry, and I've kept it a secret. I haven't told anyone. I don't know how he wants me to do it.
I don't know either. You just need to do the things that God puts in front of you.
God raised up people in the church who helped me financially get through Bible college, and I graduated with honors. Today, I'm a youth pastor with a beautiful Christian wife and daughter and a passion to reach the lost with the gospel, the only message that can break the bondage of sin. My older brothers are still in prison, but I pray for their salvation. Mom and Dad are still in need of salvation too, but I enjoy a special relationship with them. When you walk in God's ways and in His Spirit, the blessings are awesome. One of my favorite scriptures is Isaiah chapter 41, verse 10. Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee. Yea, I will help thee. Yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness.
Friend, don't try to get through life on your own when you can have a wonderful counselor, the mighty God Himself to guide you. All you have to do to step into this new life is ask. Pray with us right now. Dear God, I believe you sent Jesus to die on the cross for my sins. I believe He rose again and lives in the life of every believer. Save me, Lord. Come into my heart and life and help me to become like Jesus. In His name I pray. Amen. Now let us know that you prayed, and we'll send you some literature to help you walk in faith. The address, Pacific Garden Mission, Chicago, Illinois, 60605. The telephone number in Chicago, area 312-922-1462. Our email address is unshackled@pgm.org, and visit our website at unshackled.org. This is program number 2842, heard in the true story of Danny Basham, Part 2, where Tony Maucus Jr., Nancy Sellers, John Green, P.J. Burns, and David Mink. Original music Don Badorf, sound Nick Aloisio, engineers Ed Webb and Patrick Wood, script by Kenitha Gabler, and I'm Bob O'Donnell. Unshackled is produced by Pacific Garden Mission to show through true stories that if your life is empty, it can be filled to overflowing. And we'll never know that you listen unless you write the address, Pacific Garden Mission, Chicago, Illinois, 60605. Troubled? You may call Pacific Garden Mission in Chicago and talk with someone who cares. Area 312-922-1462. Someone is waiting for your call. 312-922-1462.